Aldrich Street is a tiny stub of a street on Manhattan's Lower East Side, close by the Manhattan Bridge. Today it looks more or less like any part of Chinatown. But cast your mind back to the turn of the last century, when these narrow streets were the heart of New York's Jewish immigrant community. Among the former tenements is an imposing Moore-style building with tall finials spiking into the sky. When the Aldrich Street Synagogue opened in 1887, it was the area's first purpose-built synagogue, and it shows. The merchants who built it meant it to be not only a sacred space, but an impressive one. The synagogue fell into disrepair as Jews left the Lower East Side. Now, though, $20 million has been spent on 20 years of restoration work. The Aldrich Street Synagogue is both a museum today and an event space and a functioning synagogue. That's the voice of cantor Max Fuchs singing at the rededication ceremony last December. I met Max and his wife, Naomi Fuchs, at the synagogue a few weeks ago. They're in their 80s.
I was the last cantor to conduct services in the Aldrich Street Shul for the high holidays. I was the last one. After that, the shul unfortunately deteriorated, and they hardly had a minion, you know what they call that, 10 people.
Decorum.
Decorum, right.
Mrs. Fuchs grew up here, a few houses down from the synagogue or shul. She says she used to slide down its banisters as a little girl.
I was born on 2 Aldrich Street on the second floor, facing the side, so I always looked out, you know, sat on the window ledge, kicked my feet outside till my father came home and pulled me out of the window. And my father davened here for 40 years. My mother said, "You know, Mars, we live on the block of the shul. I think you should go to Minyan in the morning." So for the next 40 years, he went every morning and even came home from work. He used to sell peace goods. And he carried it on his shoulders along Division Street selling the peace goods. But he always broke off to say, "I have to go to shul to daven."
Naomi Fuchs' father, Morris Grube, was one of the thousands of worshippers whose feet left their mark on the sanctuary floor.
In front of every bench, you can find grooves in the floorboards. And what those are, the footmarks of the immigrants who worshipped here.
That's Annie Polland, chief historian at the synagogue. She's taking me on a tour of the soaring space. The main sanctuary is 70 feet high, lit by 67 stained glass windows and countless brass and glass lamps. The walls are covered with gold stars on a field of blue, with trompe l'oeil curtains on either side of the ark holding the Torah scrolls.
The majority of the people living in this neighborhood during the heyday of the congregation lived in tenement apartments, and the streets were crowded. And inside their workspaces and in their homes, there was very little light, very few windows. So to come into a building like this and the sense of space and the sense of light was really amazing. We try to talk about this as kind of an architectural Sabbath. About walking through the building, that the immigrants experienced a sense of otherness or a sense of the sacred and Sabbath.
Who were the four progenitors of the entire Aldrich Street Synagogue? How did it become established?
Well, there was the congregation that built the synagogue was founded in 1852, and they were in a church that they had made into a synagogue, which was the norm at the time.
Could you introduce us to those four people?
The founders that we know most about were Sender Yarmolov, who was the president of the congregation, and he was a banker. And he had come to New York in 1873 to open up a passage and exchange office on the corner of Canal and Orchard. And David Cohen, who was in real estate, and probably was the one who scouted out the lots and found the architects. Nathan Hutkoff, who was in the plate glass building and perhaps had a link to the stained glass windows that are here. And Isaac Gellis, who was, he started a kosher manufacturing business in the 1870s. So the leaders had already established themselves in business and had the knowledge of how to navigate the courts, how to hire contractors, how to get this thing done. And so this kind of nexus between business and Judaism is essential for understanding how this place came to be.
Jews from all walks of life worshipped at Aldrich Street during its heyday. Merchants, scholars, and laborers packed the 740 seats. Stars of the nearby Yiddish theaters were there. Eddie Cantor came once. And 93-year-old Max Smith was bar mitzvahed there in 1926. His father had joined the congregation in 1903.
It was a lively synagogue. It was a bright synagogue. It was well attended in those years. In fact, I remember the days when Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year, I remember that there was standing room only in the shul. That's how packed it was.
Naomi Fuchs remembers in particular one pillar of the business community who attended services at Eldridge Street.
There's fish. There was one who owned the Fulton Fish Market. She dressed beautiful with the plumes, but did she smell from fish? She sat in front of us in shul. I still remember the smell.
But by the 1940s and 50s, the fish market owner and her fellow worshippers were mostly gone, moved to the suburbs, and unable to travel back into the city on the Sabbath. The synagogue struggled financially. When a hurricane blew out one of the grand rose windows, it had to be replaced with plain glass blocks. In the 1950s, the grand sanctuary was completely abandoned, and for the next 25 years, the few remaining worshippers held services in the basement. Eventually, an answered prayer, landmark status for the building. By 1987, volunteers had raised enough money to begin restoration. The first task was to dig a new basement underneath the existing crawl space so the old building could have modern conveniences like air conditioning. And amid all the reconstruction, perhaps the most labor-intensive work was restoration of those 67 stained glass windows. Workers pulled apart thousands of individual bits of stained glass to clean and reassemble them with new leading. For Max Smith, it was all worth the wait.
When they had the open house, I walked in and I saw the illumination and the beauty of the synagogue. And immediately, my brain brought me back to the days of old. I'm not ashamed to say it. My wife said it was amazing. He started to cry like a baby. So I said, well, you have no idea. It struck me so that my father was going to be there. But unfortunately, he wasn't there.
I felt very good because it really didn't happen to too many shuls, you know. They just closed down, and I'm telling you, my father didn't have to turn over in his grave. He's really resting comfortably.
When we finished speaking, I asked Naomi Fuchs' husband, cantor Max Fuchs, to sing for us the same prayer he sang at the rededication of the synagogue. The words mean, God has preserved and sustained us to reach this happy day. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.